The Geek Couch podcasts are brought to you by Charming Beard Coffee. Go to charmingbeard.com and enter in the code GEEK when you buy a bag of their single roasted coffees and get 10% off of your order. Charming Beard Coffee, quality small batch single origin coffee for the discerning coffee drinker. Beard not necessarily required.
Oh, great! Real bullets!
Smoke and mirrors, guys! Welcome to the movie factory.
How's that for a slice of fried gold?
I know who I am! I'm a dude blazing a dude disguised as another dude!
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Geek Couch Collector's Edition podcast. I am your host, Sean DeRager. Thanks for tuning in and, talking about some Blu-rays. This is going to be the last show of the year. Going to take a break the next couple weeks here into January. And so hope all of you have a great Christmas, and I'm really looking forward to getting December done. Done with this Christmas shopping and Christmas lists and all the stuff. I'm ready to enjoy the holiday and just get moving along here. So, well, we have a few things to go over today. Some decent releases are out, so we'll talk about those. But first, let's jump into, we got a little bit of news things to talk about, so let's talk about that real quick.
Dogs, you scum-sucking pigs,
you sons of a motherless goat.
I'm your huckleberry.
All right, so as all of you know, The Hobbit came out in theaters this last weekend here, and the one thing that a lot of people have been discussing has been the 48 frames per second, the frame rate that Peter Jackson shot this at. And I know a lot of the theaters out here, I think unless you're seeing it in 3D, I mean, most of the people I've talked to have seen it at the 24 frames per second. What they did was they downgraded from 48 frames per second to 24 for most 2D theaters. So if you have a new theater in your area and you're going to see it in 3D, you're going to be seeing it at a higher frame rate. And what a lot of people have been complaining about has been that the look of the picture seems to be kind of like a BBC miniseries or like a 1987 soap opera. It's just there's too much information for your eyes to take in, so your eyes and your brain can't process, and it just looks bad. And another one of the problems is that the effects don't match in like with the landscapes. And if you see these glorious landscapes of New Zealand, and then you have some CG characters on top of it, it just doesn't look as good. So there's been that complaint, and then also just the fact that the props and the makeup and everything like that, the prosthetics and stuff like that, you can see the seams. So the perfection that Peter Jackson and even James Cameron and I think one other director have been talking about 40 frames per second just doesn't seem to be manufactured in a lot of people's opinions. And while it smooths out some of the 3D, it still isn't worth, bridging the gap, between the uncanny valley. So there's an article I wanted to draw your attention to on movieline.com to read about it, because this is going to be interesting once we move into home video and stuff like that. Is there going to be, they're talking about super high def, and about, releasing TVs that run, can run 48 frames per second and things like that. So, so it's going to be in everyone's conscience here as things move forward. As the old 3D Blu-ray thing doesn't seem to be taking off, so of course they're going to be looking for something else. But there's this great article here. It's called "The Science of High Frame Rates" or "Why the Hobbit Looks Bad at 48 Frames per Second." So let's see here. So they talked to a couple scientists about this, and let me read a quote here from James Kerwin. Says that studies seem to show that most humans see about 66 frames per second. That's how we see reality through our eyes and our brains. So you would think that at 48 frames per second is sufficiently below that it would look very different from reality. But what people aren't taking into account is the fact that although we see 66 frames per second, neuroscientists and consciousness researchers are starting to realize that we're only consciously aware of 40 moments per second. So this is a very interesting article. It goes into The Hobbit and the filming and the differences between 24 frames per second and 48 frames per second. And it just goes to show that while, you know, filmmakers like Peter Jackson and James Cameron are trying to push the envelope, kind of like what George Lucas did, like it's almost like they're trying to be like the next George Lucas. It seems it's kind of either half-baked or just not well thought out yet, or they're just allowing their films to kind of be a transition film, which is kind of a little bit annoying as a film goer, because, you know, as a follow-up to Lord of the Rings, we really want to be invested in the world and see The Hobbit at its best presentation. But it looks like if you're going to see The Hobbit in theaters, go ahead and I would recommend the 2D 24 frames per second version presentation. There still is, I hear, some story problems since it is a third of a story being stretched out across 2.5 to 3 hours. And, you know, but all that, you know, all that aside, the technical aspects are very interesting. And, you know, if Peter Jackson decided to kind of offer his film up as a sacrificial lamb and then James Cameron comes in and gets it right, you know, a lot of us will be changing our tune. But just kind of getting it out there that if you haven't seen The Hobbit yet, try to skip the 3D if you can. I know it's a lot of people want to go see the films the way the filmmakers want it, you know, the way the filmmakers want to present it, but I hear that that's at a detriment to actually getting emotionally involved into the film as a whole. So that's about it. So we're going to start hearing a lot more about 48 frames per second as more movies come out, as the new Avatar movies come out. And then, of course, through home video, they're going to try to find some way to market that as well. So a little heads up for you. All right, let's move into this week's releases.
Time to musk up.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
Releases. Sorry, I cut the feed too quick on the microphone. All right, let's see what we got here. We got some, there's some good things out this week. Let's see here. First up, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has an action film on bicycles with Premium Rush.
I like to ride. Fixed gear. No brakes. Can't stop. Don't want to either.
We got him.
Riley, I got a package for you. Premium Rush. Don't screw it up.
Hello? Wiley? Hey, Jersey, you want to move your fat ass?
You know how sexy you are when you talk like that? I'll call you when I deliver.
Time is now 5:33.
We must be there by 7 o'clock. It's extremely important.
Always is.
Thanks. Have a nice day.
All right, a lot of visuals going on now. So that's Premium Rush, Joseph Gordon-Levitt starring action vehicle. Directed by David Koepp, rated PG-13. It's a brief hour and a half, and this is the kind of film I was actually expecting more of a direct-to-video type plot. The plot is, from Rotten Tomatoes, dodging speeding cars, crazed cabbies, open doors, and 8 million cranky pedestrians is all in a day's work for Wiley, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the best of New York's agile and aggressive bicycle messengers. It takes a special breed to ride the Fixie, super lightweight single-gear bikes with no brakes, and riders who are equal parts skilled cyclists and suicidal nutcases who risk becoming a smear on the pavement every time they head into traffic. But a guy who's used to putting his life on the line is about to get more than he used to when a routine delivery turns into a life-or-death chase through the streets of Manhattan. When Wiley picks up his last envelope of the day on a Premium Rush run, he discovers this package is different This time, someone is actually trying to kill him. So I've been wanting to see this. I have heard mixed reactions on it. It's a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, rated fresh. And I'm really excited that it's out on Blu-ray this week. I'm definitely going to be picking this one up to rent. So, and if I really love it, because I'm actually a big B-movie nut, I'll end up buying it. But I would recommend a rental on Premium Rush this week. Let's see. Next up, we have a Colin Farrell starring vehicle, directed by Len Wiseman, and it's a remake of a lot of you, if you're movie fans, probably one of your favorite movies. Total Recall is out on Blu-ray this week, the remake.
Are you actually happy with how your life's turned out?
I know this isn't what we had in mind when we were younger, but who gets everything they fantasize about, right?
Hey, what do you know about recall?
Stay away from them. Don't mess with your mind, man.
You seem like you're looking for something. Is it this? You're gonna wish you had three hands.
I'm looking for recall.
Remember to have a good time.
Tell us your fantasy. We'll give you the memory.
What is it? What's wrong?
It's all a mistake. Nobody.
I went to recall after work.
What?
And I killed him.
Whatever happened, we're gonna get through it.
It's okay.
All right, I can't break it. Come on.
You're crazy! What are you doing?
My job.
All right, that's Total Recall. Imagine all the fun you had with the original, all the humor with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then imagine Mars, the awesomeness of Mars, and jettison all that. This is a kind of a more of a serious, action-oriented take on the Philip Dick story. So Total Recall is out. Let's see, here's the synopsis. Welcome to Recall, the company that can turn your dreams into real memories. For a factory worker named Douglas Quaid, Colin Farrell, even though he's got a beautiful wife, Kate Beckinsale, who he loves, the mind trip sounds like the perfect vacation from his frustrating life. Real memories as life as a super spy might be just what he needs, but when the procedure goes horribly wrong, Quaid becomes a hunted man, finding himself on the run from the police, controlled by Chancellor Cohagen. Bryan Cranston, the leader of the free world, Quaid teams up with a rebel fighter, Jessica Biel, to find the head of the underground resistance, Bill Nighy, and stop Cohagen. Now, the actors sound amazing. We got Bill Nighy. We got Bryan Cranston, who's good in everything. Colin Farrell, Kate Beckinsale, and Jessica Biel. They're all in this. They're all trying hard. The effects look pretty great. The visuals look pretty spectacular. But when stacked up against, you know, the old Schwarzenegger flick, Paul Verhoeven film, which had Paul Verhoeven's kind of violent sense of humor, very offbeat, you know, it kind of falls flat. So, and I also have read that it takes dialogue from the Paul Verhoeven film and transplants that into the film. So, kind of a weird mix. I'm still interested in watching this just because of the actors. I hear some of the action is pretty great, but as a film as a whole, I hear that it does fall flat. I know that Scott Weinberg, one of my favorite critics on Twitter, he actually enjoyed it for what it was. So it's one of those things, if you enjoy like the Underworld films for what they are, if you enjoy most of the Resident Evil films for what they are, you're going to probably, you know, at least enjoy watching this. I kind of wish it was rated R, because it seems like Total Recall, the Schwarzenegger flick, really benefited from the shock of having that R rating. So this is an extended director's cut, so who knows? They may actually show the three boobs, if you're into that. which is crazy that they focus on getting that into the film, whereas as it's a big plot point, you know? So anyway, Total Recall is out on Blu-ray. Tread carefully, and I would suggest rent it if you're at all interested in it. Some of you might not be, so, which is totally fine with me. All right. Oh, side note, Premium Rush comes out on Friday. I forgot to mention that about Premium Rush. But that's out on doing these stupid Friday releases, which are lame. All right, next up, we have a film from Clint Eastwood. I'm not going to play the trailer or anything. His film Trouble with the Curve, which got pretty horrible rating, horrible reviews. But Trouble with the Curve is out, the Clint Eastwood baseball film, which I have no desire to see. You might, but, you know, 66% of the audience on Rotten Tomatoes liked it. 52% of the critics did, liked it. So, anyway. All right, let's keep on moving here. This next film, I've, really been excited to see this because I've been hearing about it on Mark Maron's podcast, the WTF podcast, one of the best podcasts out there, and, makes my podcast look like, total crap. But anyway, the film Sleepwalk With Me is out on Blu-ray, and I'm very excited about this one.
I'm going to tell you a story, and it's true. I always have to tell people that because inevitably someone will come up to me and they'll be like, is that true? And I'll be like, yeah. And they'll be like, was it? I don't know how to respond to that. Like, I guess I could say it louder, you know, like, yeah. And they'd be like, it's probably true. Say it louder.
And now the big comedian, Matt Pandapiglio.
Hey, y'all ready to lip sync? I can't hear you. That's my lip sync joke.
So here's what happened. My girlfriend Abby and I moved in together. She's great. And my sister Janet got engaged.
You're next. Coming your way, baby. Batter up.
And everyone started talking about marriage.
How long have you and Abby been together?
8 years.
I don't remember being so long. That's ridiculous.
And that night,
Abby,
I started walking in my sleep.
There's a jackal in the room!
Come back to bed.
How long has this sleepwalking been going on?
I don't think it's that serious.
As things with my girlfriend got more tense, my sleepwalking got more dangerous.
You did it, Matt. First place.
Thank you! This is the first time I remember thinking, maybe I should see a doctor. And then I thought, maybe I'll eat dinner. I went with dinner.
I've decided I'm not gonna get married until I'm sure that nothing else good can happen in my life.
You should say that on stage.
One day I asked my girlfriend, what do you fear most? And she said, I fear you'll meet someone else and you'll leave me and I'll be all alone. And she said, what do you fear most? And I said, bears.
Has your girlfriend heard the jokes?
No.
You should probably mention it.
You say you're going to go see the doctor. You don't. You say you want to be a comedian. You're a bartender. I mean, pick a damn plan and stick with it.
He's kidding, but he's not as funny as you.
My parents have been together 40 years, which is, yeah, no, but it's too long. If you're ever in a relationship that's moving towards marriage and you're not ready, don't go to my sister Janet's wedding. Shirt, loser. Sorry. No, I like it. It's nice.
So that's Sleepwalk With Me, starring Mike Birbiglia and Mark Maron, isn't it? I'm very excited to see this film. And it has, I'm looking on DVDtalk.com right now, and it got almost five stars for the show, for the movie itself. Comes highly recommended. And let's talk about the features really quick, because the extras on this I'm hoping for good extras, but we got about a 14 minute making of documentary, we got an outtake reel, we have Birbiglia and Ira Glass do the commentary. That's almost worth it alone. So. And there's some trailers on here. So nothing as far as like gigantic documentaries, but man, that commentary featuring Ira Glass and Mike Birbiglia would be pretty great. So Sleepwalk With Me, is kind of his autobiographically inspired film, a fictional feature debut, but kind of autobiographically inspired. Birbiglia wears his incisive wit on his sleeve while portraying a cinematic surrogate. We are thrust into the tale of a burgeoning stand-up comedian struggling with the stress of a stalled career, a stale relationship threatening to race out of his control, and the wild spurts of severe sleepwalking he is desperate to ignore. based on the successful one-man show, Sleepwalk With Me engages in the kind of passionate and personal storytelling that transfigures intimate anguish into comic art. So, very excited to see this one, and it comes highly recommended, even though I haven't seen it, just from everyone that I've talked to about it. And so that's Sleepwalk With Me, and that is out today, this week, on Blu-ray. All right, let's see what we got next here. There's a film called Pitch Perfect that's out this week that I have not even watched a trailer for. I skipped over that one on accident, but a movie called Pitch Perfect is out. And now watch, it's like one of the most awesome movies ever. And I just breeze right over it. next is a movie called Liberal Arts out on Blu-ray and DVD.
Professor Peter Hoberg.
Now, I know Ohio is not as glamorous as New York, but they're throwing me a retirement dinner thing.
When is it?
Weekend of the 25th. You know, check your schedule.
Checking now. Looks like I have to shift some things around. I'll be there.
Hey.
Whoa, was that Professor Fairfield?
Yeah.
She was like the best teacher I had here. She was like the second best teacher I had here.
Jesse, this is my daughter, Zibby.
Hey.
Hi.
She's a sophomore. So what was your major?
I was English with a minor in history, just to make sure I was fully unemployable.
I made this for you. You could write me a letter.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a few years older than you.
Did you think this was like a romantic thing? Just kidding. We connect really well, don't you think?
I just can't figure out if it's because you're advanced or because I'm stunted.
It's because I'm advanced.
What the hell are you doing here?
I don't know.
Nobody feels like an adult. I'm not 19 anymore.
I'm 35.
That doesn't bother me.
Well, it bothers me.
My advice to you is this. Put some armor around that gooey little heart of yours.
So I'm a sucker for films like this. This is
a liberal arts
IFC film release, directed by Josh Radner, starring Josh Radner, and it stars Richard Jenkins and Elizabeth Olsen. So Elizabeth Olsen is awesome, and she's been good pretty much in everything that I've seen of her. So I'm excited to see this because she's in it, because Richard Jenkins is in it. And the trailer totally hooked me, so it could be a bit, it could be a bit, I can't think of the word, formulaic, but I'm down with it. It's a newly single and uninspired by his job and college admissions. The introverted Jesse Fisher, Josh Radner, lives with his head buried in a book, his deep nostalgia for his own alma mater in Ohio, the dining halls and dorm rooms, the parties and poetry seminars, makes him wonder if his best days are behind him. So when his favorite professor, Richard Jenkins, invites him back to campus to speak at his retirement dinner, Jesse jumps at the chance. Meeting Zibby, Elizabeth Olsen, a precocious classical music-loving sophomore, awakens in Jesse long dormant feelings of possibility and connection. So that's out this week, and looking forward to running that. It's probably a film that's going to be available hopefully on Netflix Instant or something like that, but very much looking forward to seeing Liberal Arts. All right, got a couple more new releases here. Let's see. Next, a movie called 10 Years with Channing Tatum in it, about a 10-year reunion called 10 Years.
Thanks for coming with
me. I'm excited to meet everybody.
Finally get some dirt on you.
It's gonna be great. Yeah. Like old times. You and me, I say.
Okay, papi.
Mommy's gonna have a night without you.
I gotta go. Oh, we just passed it through. Oh.
What's up, man?
Damn, you got fat, sucker.
I got fat. What did you eat? One of your kids?
Oh my God, look who it is.
Is there any way we can sneak some of this booze in?
I can't find anything with a lid.
What's your kid got over there?
Can I get my picture taken with you?
Never Had is one of my top 10 favorite songs.
Thank you very much.
G-Money.
Get low, baby.
This is my wife, Olivia.
You married a white girl for real?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know how much more I can handle that trailer. That's 10 years starring Channing Tatum, Jenna Dewan Tatum, Rosario Dawson, Chris Pratt, and who else is in this? There's more people in this. A whole bunch of people. Tons of people. Justin Long is in it. So that's out, and I really have no desire to see this one. I actually skipped out on my 10-year reunion. Screw that. So that's out this week, and well, let's move on. Let's move on. It's an ensemble comedy. Blah, 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 blah. All right, finally, this next film, the final new release is out this week, is kind of a return for Orlando Bloom. I haven't really seen Orlando Bloom in a whole hell of a lot, and he's out, he's in a movie out called The Good Doctor.
Do you know the secret to being a good doctor, don't you, Martin?
You act like one.
I do. I think.
This is Martin.
You know what I always thought would be the best part about being a doctor? The ladies love a doctor.
Why don't you call him doctor?
It's time you start looking for that trophy wife.
What's wrong with me?
Pyelonephritis.
Can you die from that?
Well, if you never took care of it, but that's what us doctors are here for.
I thought you guys just played golf.
I don't know how to play golf.
You're a good doctor.
You're a good patient.
She's out of here?
Just another day, to be sure.
Oh, I already signed her up.
I'm Diane's father. My daughter took quite a shine to you. She wondered if I might ask you over for dinner.
Could I use your restroom?
For any special instructions for Diane?
Just finish your medicine.
Hey, it's nice to have that little number back in 324, huh?
I don't think it's appropriate to talk about the patients in that manner.
All right, so that's Orlando Bloom starring in a movie called The Good Doctor, out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, and it's a more of an independent film. Hopefully it'll release on streaming sometime soon. But Martin Blake, Orlando Bloom, is an ambitious but anxious young doctor, eager to impress his superiors and colleagues. Chief Resident Wayland's Rob Morrow, self-assured fellow intern Dan, and a no-nonsense nurse Teresa. But things are not going Martin's way, and he can't seem to shake off his insecurities. When 18-year-old patient Diane Riley Keough is admitted for a kidney infection, Martin steps in, getting the much-needed boost of self-esteem he craves. But things take a dark turn as his enthusiasm begins to become an obsession. So, kind of a dark drama where Orlando Bloom basically causes this girl's sickness so she can come back into the hospital and keep him company. So, good stuff. I mean, I like seeing actors like Orlando Bloom try something different. So it has 62% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, so some mixed reviews on it. But I'm willing to give this a shot, and it's available on Blu-ray, DVD, also available through iTunes to rent. And like I said, I'm hoping this one jumps into streaming, into Netflix streaming very soon. All right, well, that's it for the new releases. Let's move in to the catalog releases this week.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
All right, just a few things out this week. First up, one of my favorite Disney films of all time, Flight of the Navigator, gets a release this week on Blu-ray. I'm very excited to buy that. I will definitely be picking that up. My kids and I have watched that, a handful of times. And they actually really love it, so it would be great to see this in high def. I really love that film. If you haven't seen it, Flight of the Navigators definitely is worth checking out, and your kids will love it too if you have kids. And my kids are right along with it. They love it. They love the creatures. They love the spaceship and the robot, and they're totally on board with it. Although they did learn the word penis wrinkle from that movie. All right. Next up, a film called Hans Christian Andersen is out on Blu-ray this week. It's a kind of a classic one, and I have never seen it, so I'll have to add that to my queue of movies I need to see. So, I'm trying to find any information on it. I can't find it. I found it on Amazon, so I don't know. All right, anyway. Let's see here. A film called Sometimes a Great Notion is out on Blu-ray this week. It's a 1971 film starring Paul Newman, directed by Paul Newman. Also known as Never Give an Inch, this film was based on a novel by Ken Kesey, Paul Newman, who also directed, stars as Hank Stamper, the oldest son of an Oregon logging family, headed by Henry Fonda, Hank's half-brother Leland, Michael Sarrazin, embittered over Henry's treatment of his late mother, returns after a 10-year absence to work in the family business. Leland's presence causes friction with Henry, who resents his prodigal son's hippie mindset, and Hank, who perceives Leland as a threat to his own position in the family structure. Hank has a good reason to feel resentful. Before long, his wife, Viv, has entered into an affair with Leland. Meanwhile, Henry wages an ongoing battle with the unionized loggers in the region, who threaten reprisals should Henry attempt to continue his business without union help. Whew, man. Alright, so it doesn't sound too riveting, but it's the Paul Newman directed, so definitely, you know, interested in checking out to see what a movie directed by Paul Newman would be like. Alright, and finally, the movie Death Ship gets a Blu-ray release. That's pretty much the trailer. Not a whole lot going on in the trailer, just different screams and everything. But survivors of a tragic shipping collision are rescued by a mysterious black ship which appears out of the fog. Little do they realize that the ship is actually a Nazi torture ship which has sailed the seas for years, luring unsuspecting sailors aboard and killing them off one by one. So, good stuff. Scorpion Releasing is bringing this film to Blu-ray. Its debut on widescreen and HD, so excited to have this out. Starring Academy Award winner George Kennedy, as well as Richard Crenna. And Richard Crenna was in Rambo First Blood, and then George Kennedy was in Cool Hand Luke. So that's out, and I'm excited to check this out. The problem with these catalog releases is they're hard to track down to rent, so I have to see if I can find this for cheap, I really want to watch this, but unfortunately, I mean, hopefully, like, with films like this, like I keep saying, it'd be great if we can get these on Netflix so we can watch it, but anyway, Death Ship, I don't really see anything about any extras. It doesn't look like there's any extras on this, so it looks like it could be just a bare bones release. Alright, well, that's it for this week's releases. I always feel like there's not a lot, and then I start talking about them, and then it just seems like there is a handful. Let's move into this week's first musical break. This band is called Wavelets, and they have an album out called Athletics, out on Tiny Engines Records. The song I'm gonna play for you right now is called We're Really Jazzed About the Gig. You're listening to the Geek Couch Collector's Edition podcast. That is Wavelets with the song We're Really Jazzed About the Gig on the Geek Couch Collector's Edition podcast. You can grab that album on their record label's Bandcamp. Go to tinyengines.bandcamp.com, and the album is called Athaletics, A-T-H-A-L-E-T-I-C-S. So, good band. I dig them. So, hopefully you like them too. If not, sorry. All right, let's move into this week's Netflix Picks of the Week.
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
All right, we got a handful of these here. Check out. Let's see here. All right, there is the Julianne Moore film, The Forgotten, is out on Netflix Instant. I remember seeing this a while ago, and I kind of was like, you know, didn't really care either way. Like, it was okay, but it didn't suck either. It has 3 stars on IMDb. But it's directed by Joseph Rubin, starring Julianne Moore, and that's out on Netflix this week. So if you have never seen it, now's the chance to watch it. I think it's all right. I mean, you know, it's a good little, you know, time waster, I guess, if you got nothing else to do. All right, and next, a documentary. And actually, one of my friends on Facebook just watched this, and when they got done watching it on Netflix, it recommended a children's movie or something like that. But the documentary is called After Porn Ends. Interviewing some of porn's top stars, this documentary explores their careers and delves into their lives after leaving the adult entertainment industry, examining their adjustment to normal society. So it sounds interesting. There's a ministry called Triple X Church that I've followed throughout the years, because I met the founders through a band that I worked for, and there's a handful of like women from pornography and stuff like that, and they actually turn their lives around and actually become Christians and stuff like that. So this is following a handful of women who've left the porn industry. So. Sounds interesting, and I'm definitely interested in checking that out. Not for the reasons you think. Stop. All right. Next is a documentary I've been wanting to check out for quite some time. This is called Clean Fix. In this documentary, filmmakers Andrew James and Joshua Legare explore the rise and fall of Clean Fix, a movie rental company that edited offensive material out of Hollywood films to produce unauthorized, quote, clean versions for its customers. And if you followed that, that company, I believe they did end up getting sued and had to stop because they were basically, you know, re-editing copyrighted material and taking out all the offensive language and stuff like that. So I remember, because I used to work for a Christian company, and I remember hearing about them quite a bit. So kind of humorous. You wonder if the people actually were thinking about what they were doing, and you know, their intentions were good, but you know, you can't really edit and resell copyrighted material, no matter what your intentions are. So that's Clean Flix. That's out on Netflix Instant. What is going on outside? Don't know if you guys can hear it, but of course, when I'm recording is when our landscaper comes. So good times. All right, and finally, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is out on Netflix Instant. Excited to finally watch the show. A lot of people love it. It came out in 2005. Narcissistic friends Charlie, Mac, Dennis, and Dennis's sister Dee run Patty's Pub, a downtown Philadelphia Irish bar where everyone is judgmental and juvenile. Where everyone's judgmental and juvenile behavior usually brings situations from uncomfortable to hysterically horrible. I believe the star is Danny DeVito. And I'm not really seeing who else is in it. Danny DeVito, Charlie Day, Caitlin Olsen, Glenn Howerton, Rob McElhenney. So excited to finally check this out. So It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, finally out on Netflix Instant. All the seasons up to the, not the newest one, but all the seasons. I think there's, what, is there five? Doesn't say so on here. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. I'm going to start watching that ASAP. All right. And now let's look into what is expiring. As I mentioned last week, the Steven Soderbergh two-parter Che is expiring. And also Iron Man 2 is expiring, but none of us care about Iron Man 2. And then finally, a film that I always try to get people to watch. It's one of Michael Mann's earliest films. It's from 1981, I believe. But it's called The Keep. It's 1983. So director Michael Mann's visual artistry is highlighted in his 1983 horror outing, The Keep. So let's see if we can... I got the trailer right here. We'll see how much we can stand on the trailer.
This place. No one knows for sure.
This place was not built to keep anything out. This place was built to keep something in.
Must not stay here.
All right. Sorry about that, everybody. So that's The Keep. An interesting, kind of an oddity. It's a very strange film, and something, you know, I really did. I actually dig it. I dig it a lot. And, you know, it's not the greatest movie. It's not a great film, but as a Michael Mann early film, it's definitely very interesting to watch. And it stars Ian McKellen, Scott Glenn, and it's let's see. So it's starring, and it stars Jürgen Prochnow as Captain Klaus Wehrmann, whose German soldiers are slain by an ancient spirit after they commandeer a Romanian castle during World War II. Jewish scholar Theodore Cuza is Ian McKellen is forced to investigate and wants to unleash the demon to decimate the Nazis, but an enigmatic wanderer, Scott Glenn, intends to keep the evil contained. So, pretty great. A lot of what-the-fuck moments in this one. When Scott Glenn first arrives, he does, for some reason, the woman finds him irresistible, and they, you know, they get it on. It's just pretty funny. Really weird moments. Very strange movie. But that's expiring on December 31st. So if you haven't seen it yet, and if you're a fan of film and a fan of Michael Mann, definitely check this one out. Very strange, and in my opinion, you know, worth watching. Not a great movie, but very, very entertaining. And that's one that I hope that, like, Shout Factory or someone like that releases on Blu-ray, because that would be just amazing to have some retrospective, you know, documentaries on that. And, you know, it'd be pretty great. So, all right, well, that's it for the Netflix stuff. Let's move into our next musical break. This band is called Cattle Drums, and they have an album. They have some demos available right now, but I'm going to play a song off of their last album. This song is called Who Punched Pat Moore's Face? You're listening to the Geek Couch Collector's Edition podcast.
Never to wish to see another. That's small talk. We'll use chalk to outline the others. Bone fragments unearthed in no specific fashion. Swings made from snakeskin, third base without the passion. The This here body had gold, porcelain, platinum, dental work. This buzz is nothing but nothing's worth.
That was Cattle Drums with the song Who Punched Pat Moore's Face from the album The Boy Kisser Sessions Plus 3. It's out right now, I believe, on Tiny Engines. You can go to cattledrums.bandcamp.com to get that. And, you know, fun little album. I really dig that band, and I'm hopefully they have a full length coming out here this next year. So we'll, you know, I'll be updating you guys. All right, let's move into this week's Blu-ray pick of the week.
Hello, little guy. It's the sweetie man coming.
All right. So this week, my Blu-ray pick of the week came kind of happenstance. I was in Best Buy. I had a gift card to use, and I was trying to, you know, you wander around the store. You're trying to really make the purchase worth it, right? You have, you know, $10 off. You know, what are you going to get? And I take this stuff very seriously on my purchases. I was like, well, should I buy Ted? I was like, well, you know, I could probably rent that first. I've been actually really into collecting older films now. So I saw over that at Best Buy that West Side Story, the 50th anniversary edition, limited edition, is only $19.99. So I know it's on sale on Amazon as well, so it's fairly cheap. And I figured, you know what, I better pick this up. And the set is gorgeous. I don't know if you're a fan of West Side Story or not. It's a musical. It's definitely strange if you're not used to watching musicals. The gangs don't seem too tough when they're prancing around. But it's a, you know, it's basically a modern day, quote unquote modern day in the 50s, Romeo and Juliet musical about one gang member who falls in love with a Puerto Rican girl whose brother's from the rival gang. So all happening on the streets of New York City. So I figured, what the hell, I'll pick this up, and I'm very happy that I did. The box is pretty awesome. It's individually numbered, and being the geek that I am, it came with kind of this thing, you know, how they'll have like a outer card that's kind of loosely secured to a box that has all the information about the special features. Well, it had that, and they put the limited edition sticker on that. And of course, when I unwrapped it, that thing falls off right away. So I took off the sticker and I put it inside the box. So it has like a slip cover. You take it off, and there's pictures actually. If you go to my Facebook, facebook.com/thegeekcouch, and you open it up, and there's a picture book in there. The movies are housed in a digibook, and then there's some cards here, and a really beautiful set. And you know, if you're a fan of that kind of stuff like I am, definitely pick it up. There's also like a 3-disc set that don't have all the cool boxes and stuff like that. So The extras on this thing, I mean, first of all, the transfer looks pretty stunning. It's a pretty great transfer. You know what I should have done? I should have had music from the musical playing underneath this. I'm an idiot. Oh, well. Too late now. Sorry about that, folks. There is a 19-minute documentary called Pow! The Dances of West Side Story. There's a song-specific commentary by Stephen Sondheim. There's an hour and 25 music video jukebox of all the film's musical sequences. There's a 30-minute documentary on called A Place for Us, West Side's Story Legacy. There's West Side Memories, an older featurette that's about an hour, standard definition. Trailers, there's a CD that comes with some of the songs covered by more modern artists. And then the hardcover book with photos, and then the reproductions of international posters on postcards. So great stuff. Really great looking set. Looks great right next to my Casablanca set. And it's cheap. It's $19.99, so definitely worth picking up if you're a collector of older films. And you know, looking forward to showing these to my kids as they start showing an interest in film and stuff like that. And so hopefully this will aid them in their movie education. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Go ahead and make sure you check out my music podcast. It's called The Backstage Pass. It's been in this feed. You can find a few of those things in this feed. But you're going to want to, if you want to listen to it, subscribe to it separately. You can go to the website, go to thegeekcouch.com/podcast. On the right-hand corner, there's subscription links. You can subscribe to the Geek Couch Collector's Edition, and then you can subscribe to the Geek Couch Backstage Pass. This week's show is going to be a lot of fun. It's an hour holiday episode, end-of-year extravaganza, with a lot of bands and their interpretations of Christmas songs, as well as their own original Christmas songs. So stay tuned for that. It'll be up in a couple of days. And like I said, make sure you subscribe in the second feed, because once the new year hits, there'll be no more music podcasts in the collector's edition feed. You'll have to go to the Backstage Pass feed. Okay, it's not too complicated, right? We're all used to technology. Also, want to thank Charming Beard Coffee for sponsoring the show. Make sure you go to charmingbeard.com, and when you buy a bag of coffee, put in the discount code Geek, and you'll get a 10% discount. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Last show of the year. All of you, good luck with your holiday buying. Have a safe and happy holiday season. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Talk to you guys in 2013.